Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
I want you to rewind February of 2023. A lot of concern and great frustration as South Africa being one of the latest countries now being loaded onto the FATF grey list. That's the Financial Action Task Force that highlighted that there were ongoing concerns regarding corporate allegations and, of course, just the lack of adequate financial controls that we had in South Africa to mitigate any kind of money laundering or money challenges with regard to the siphoning of money out of the country and in other means. But as we've been working on, the 22 action items to make sure that we get off the list by the end of October. And this follows feedback that we had in July of this year. But on the back of the news headlines that we've been witnessing in South Africa, the Madlanga Commission, the various raids that have taken place on properties, and how all these scandals do highlight a heightened level of corruption in the police and other forces. When we take a look at the scandal involving Tembisa Hospital, what are the prospects of us making it off the list? One person who has thoughts on this is Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib. Kevin, such a pleasure to touch base with you again, sir. Boy, oh boy, has it been an eventful couple of weeks since I last saw you.
Hi, Gugu. Yeah, it has been. But hopefully we have some good news on the 24th of October. We certainly would welcome that. And I guess there's still a chance that we come off the grey list.
There's still a chance, but what will we likely see FATF taking into account, especially given the new allegations regarding the nature of corruption and the reality of how vast and great it is that have come out of the Madlanga Commission and many other interviews, inquiries, and even raids that have been revealed?
Yeah, so if we go back to June of this year, the Financial Action Task Force said to South Africa that we had, I think they used the phrase, substantially completed the outstanding list. But they said they needed to conduct a site visit and sort of see for themselves on some of these issues. And they did that in July. So back in July, there was a team that came out, met with various representatives, including National Treasury. And after that site visit at the end of July, National Treasury released a press statement where they indicated that the site visit had gone well, as they were concerned, the outstanding issues. And so the next bit of focus is the 24th of October, when the Financial Action Task Force has their plenary session, and taking South Africa off the grey list is on the agenda. So at that point, at the end of July, you would have said very high probability of South Africa exiting the grey list. Now we've had all these revelations regarding police issues and other kind of, I don't know what you would call them, maladministration, corruption, etc. And so that now flags a whole range of dubious activities, and clearly that's going to perk the interest of the Financial Action Task Force, because that is exactly the type of issue that they have been focused on. And I guess for them, what they're going to want to understand is South Africa taking action against all of these findings? In other words, are they likely to be prosecutions? Is it been thoroughly investigated? Or is there not much that's going to materialize? Mm-hmm. Because if we go back and look at the things that got us onto the grey list to start with, one of those was simply the lack of prosecution.
Yes.
Now, I think there has been some action taken, right? Assets have been seized, and at least we've got more information about some of the wrongdoings. But I think it's going to require a bit more than that. And so I'm hoping that our authorities are reaching out to the Financial Action Task Force to assure them that the appropriate action will be taken. Mm-hmm. It's up to them whether they decide that's enough and take us off the grey list. They could obviously decide, look, let's leave you on the grey list and we'll assess it at a future date, given how many revelations have been forthcoming. They could also take you off and then put you back onto the grey list. That would seem fairly inefficient. So I think at this stage, On balance, we still think we're coming off the grey list, but I think it's a closer call than it was a month or two ago.
And as you state, this is the reality that we're in, right? It's a much closer call than what we faced a few months ago. Help us contextualize how this then influences, I guess, confidence. If there's anything we know that influences money and investors, especially foreign investment, is confidence in the level
That's
of not
right,
only
yeah.
transparency but also accountability. How do you see this perhaps playing an influence in how investors view South Africa?
So obviously we've gone through a difficult phase in South Africa. It's been a number of years now, and there's a range of factors that have contributed to that. And we've seen a lack of investment into South Africa in all the different markets, whether it's buying into our equity market, bond, and so being on the grey list has absolutely aggravated that, partly simply because it adds a huge layer of cost and complexity to doing business with South Africa. But also, to be honest, if you look at the list of countries that are on the grey list, there's a lot of countries on that list that you would kind of naturally not want to necessarily invest in. And so we've included ourselves in a group of countries that don't attract a lot of foreign investment. So for a G20 country, I think we've got to keep reminding ourselves, we're a G20 country. We're
yes.
the only G20 country on the grey list. That's mm-hmm. embarrassing. So from my perspective, it's clearly something that has hindered investment flows. And as you say, it's hindered confidence. If we could, let's say we move off the grey list and at the same time we make some progress in some other key reforms, particularly private-public partnerships, then that starts to send a very powerful message that South Africa is heading in the right direction. So while it may seem like a non-issue for some people, I think coming off the grey list at this time would be a very important signal. And if we're not able to come off the grey list equally, it would say that we are clearly not out of the woods, even though we've made some progress, and it would put us back. The added difficulty to this is that if you look at our international credit rating, it's well below investment grade, and it's been below that for some time. And
yes.
the combination of having a speculative grade in credit rating coupled with being on the grey list, sure, it makes it tough going in terms of attracting foreign investment. It makes it expensive to attract foreign money. And so if South Africa is going to try and make some progress, one of the things we've got to do is get off the grey list.
And I'm assuming, looking at the headlines, Croatia, Mali and Tanzania have done this successfully as of June 2025. Could we potentially see, I guess, capital being redirected to those markets or other emerging
yes.
market peers?
Because it's the direction of travel that matters the most here. It's when foreign investors see that you're making progress, even if it's off a low base, they start to take notice of it, because they then do some additional work to work out, is this a sustainable improvement and is it going to keep improving? And it's got a lot to do when we've looked at countries that have been on the grey list. Those countries that when they get onto the grey list respond emphatically and are clearly very determined to get off the grey list. And the same honestly applies with credit ratings.
Mm.
There have been countries that have gone onto a credit rating and then responded very quickly, very emphatically to get off a bad credit rating. That gets noticed by foreign investors. So I think for those countries that are able to move off the grey list, it sends a good signal. And in the world of foreign investment, investors have a lot of choice, right?
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to take risk on investing in an emerging market, if they find a country that is just not performing well, let's say we're on the grey list, let's say we got a bad credit rating, there are many other countries that you can focus on. And so that's exactly what happens. And we've seen that in our investment flows into our markets. It's starting to turn around now. If I look at foreigners buying into South African government bonds, in the last eight weeks, there's been a noticeable improvement. Foreigners now own the highest level of South African government bonds they have in 3 years.
My
so that's
goodness.
It's off a low base, but it's a nice improvement.
Yeah.
And I've got no doubt that part of that is the prospect of some stability in our fiscal position, a better inflation outlook, and the prospect of coming off the grey list.
Maybe also lack of confidence in the US and the dollar?
Absolutely. So what we're seeing is that people are now revising their view on the dollar as a kind of dominant safe haven currency. We also seen people reassess the role of the U.S. economy and U.S. investment generally. And so people are looking around the world for alternatives. Now, some of those alternatives have simply been gold, which we can understand from our perspective. But we are seeing money flowing to emerging markets where people are seeing cheap assets and they're seeing countries that are doing a bit better. And so this is a very good time to kind of get noticed for a positive reform. And to me, that's our key opportunity. Obviously, it has to be accompanied by a meaningful improvement in economic growth. It can't just be reform for the sake of reform. It's got to translate into something tangible. But I think it's a good opportunity while the U.S. is out of favor to start to attract some decent foreign investment, both short-term and long-term investment.
Yeah. I'm taking advantage of the fact that whenever I do speak to you, Kevin, we always debate, you know, the health of South Africa's economy. And, you know, we've often described it as not firing on all cylinders. That unfit athlete that often gets benched, has a knee injury, but still makes it onto the playing squad and the starting lineup. I'm keen to understand, in the world of GNU, Trump tariff and trades, gold, lack of confidence in the U.S. economy, and now as we see, you know, new heightened headlines around corruption and its reality in South Africa, how would you describe our 2025 economic performance so far as South Africa?
So if you take the economics as a separate topic, so ignore some of the stuff relating to the GNU directly and relating to the latest issues around corruption, the South African economy is systematically actually moving into a better position. We've seen consumers with a bit more spending power, partly simply because inflation is lower and wages are going up a bit above inflation. That's giving consumers a bit of spending power. We've had a cut in interest rates that helps. We've seen government tax revenue hold up very nicely. That certainly provides some confidence. And we're starting to see a lot of, I've been involved in a lot of meetings that are looking at projects related to private-public partnerships, and they systematically making progress. And just last week, we had the resolution relating to Pier 2 Harbour, which I think is the most positive thing going on
in
right
Durban.
Now in terms of PPPs for Pier 2 Harbour, Durban, to get the Philippines company involved in that harbour. So I would say there's systematically some positives developing in terms of economics, and I'm seeing many economists revise up their growth rates. After revising them down early in the year, they're starting to move in the other direction. We still think there could be an interest rate cut. We think inflation remains under control. Mm-hmm. All of that is good. What you've got to do, though, is take that and translate it into something more tangible in terms of proper fixed investment, employment, growth. And in order to do that, we need these reform measures to be implemented. And, gee, we need the issues around corruption, crime, etc., to start to be tackled in earnest. And we need prosecutions, etc. That builds a huge amount of confidence. So I would say, are some encouraging signs, and that is surprising given the developments earlier in the year and given the Trump 30% tariffs. Right. There are some promising signs, and I'm hoping that we can build on those into next year. And so I've got a growth rate that is quite a bit higher next year than what we've got this year, and then building on that beyond then.
As long as it's more than, I'm even ashamed to say it, to 1%. We need 3.
We've got to get to above 3. So if we've got to make a meaningful difference to employment and to people's livelihoods, then the growth rate has to be not just above 3 for 1 year or 2 years. It's got to be sustainably above 3%. Then you start to make a difference. And above 4% will start to change South Africa. We're not in that position yet. Okay. We would have to have a lot more infrastructure put in place and therefore employment accompanying that. But you've got to start somewhere, and I think there is enough going on to be slightly more encouraged. So next year we're looking at 1.5% growth. Is that good enough? No. But if you've been growing at an average of less than 1% in the last 10 years, Then if you can lift the growth to 1.8 next year, the year after I've got the growth lifting up to 2%, then you move in the right direction. So on a 3 to 5 year basis, I've become more optimistic that we're going to be able to achieve that 3% plus growth rate. In the very short term, let's say the next 12, 18 months, I think we grow above 1%, but it's still not going to feel enough, and it's not going to make enough of a tangible improvement to people's livelihoods.
Got you. Sure. Kevin, I could speak to you all day. Thank you so much for your analysis and your time this evening. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gugu.
Thank you. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.